Lord, as we come before you this morning, as we open the Bible now, we pray that you would speak to us. As your word says, Lord, teach us, train us, correct us, and Lord, even rebuke us where we need it. In your name, amen. I wonder if you've ever experienced something so wonderful that you want others to experience it. Perhaps you've viewed this amazing view somewhere while you were on holiday. And you come home and you just tell everybody about this amazing view and you want them to go and experience it as well. Perhaps you had a fantastic experience at some or other restaurant and you want others to go and share that experience that you had. Have you ever experienced something that you actually get upset with when other people do not share your feeling on it? So you're so excited about it, and you tell them, you cannot stop but tell them, and they really are not interested. Have you ever been upset by something like that? Well, the psalmist is. The psalmist here in this portion of Psalm 119, from 129 to 136, is so excited about God, but he is so discouraged when those around want nothing to do with God. And I want to have a look at that this morning. I want to have a look at how the psalmist can say that God is so exciting before we have a look at his final response to that. So, my first comment this morning, God's word is wonderful. The psalmist begins this next section with an amazing statement. Just have a look there at verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, he says. Now, remember, as if you've been with us over the past few weeks, if you haven't, you can catch our sermons on our church website. They're all freely available and you can download them. You can go and listen. But remember, I explained that the word statute is really just another way of saying the word of God. God's laws, God's commands. And so really what the psalmist is saying here is that your word, O God, is wonderful. It's a great starting point, isn't it? As we acknowledge that God's word, which consists of the law, the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament, and the entire New Testament. And the psalmist is saying that your law, the rest of the Bible, is delightful, is brilliant, is magnificent, is perfect, is ideal. Now, he doesn't just make this comment and then leave it hanging. He tells us why God's word is wonderful. And I want us just to have a look at a couple of things here that the psalmist tells us as to why God's word is wonderful. You see, if you have a look at verse 130, he tells us here why God's word is wonderful. He says, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. There's three comments that I want to make about that in relation to God's word being wonderful. The first comment is that he says God's word is wonderful because it gives light. We chatted about this whole light idea a few weeks ago when we began our study in Psalm 119. And we said that the light is God shining in to a world that is actually dark. You remember that the Bible often equates darkness with sin. And so here we've got God's word being the light. It's as if by carrying our Bible around, by knowing and having God's word in our heads, we have this torch that gives us light in a dark world. And the psalmist tells us, God's word is the light that I need to live in this dark world. I don't know if it happened with you last night, but when the rains first started, the power tripped and then there was this almighty bang of thunder. I think pretty much the whole town was out. And it was absolutely pitch dark. Until one of us switched on a cell phone. And suddenly, although it was just a spot of light, you could see that light and you could see someone's left a stool there. I need to walk around it to go and find the bigger lights. And that is what the psalmist is saying God's word is like. It's as if the power has completely gone out, but we have the word of God there giving us light. It opens the door for us and lets the light in so that we can see where and how we are walking. But the psalmist doesn't just say that God's word is light. He also mentions that God's word is wonderful because it gives understanding to the simple. Now, don't get misled by the word simple there. Simple doesn't mean sort of not having everything there upstairs. Simple is not being stupid. Simple means ordinary or normal. In fact, one translation of the Bible, the Contemporary English Version, translates the word simple as ordinary. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is that the word of God, the Bible, gives understanding to normal, ordinary people, like you and I. It means that if you or I think that we can do better outside of God's word and outside of God's laws, then God cannot help us. Because God gives understanding to us. You see, if we're back in that dark room, it means that not only am I able to see where I'm going, but it helps me to understand that I'm actually in a dark room. It helps me to see that there is no light around me apart from God's word, apart from Jesus himself. But if I'm at the point where I say, I can see perfectly fine without the light of God's word, then God's word doesn't give us understanding. It doesn't help us to see that we need light. Can you see why the psalmist is delighted in the word of God? Why the psalmist says God's word is wonderful? Because it gives us understanding for a dark world, and it gives us light as we live in a dark world. But notice just something here before we move on to the second point. That God's word is wonderful, but we have to do our bit with it as well. And just notice how he begins that phrase. He says in verse 129, your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. In verse 130, the unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You notice that word unfolding? Now, what do you think the word unfolding means? Well, it's like you going into your cupboard and grabbing out a t-shirt. It's folded, but before you can put it on, you actually need to unfold it. Although that's a simple process, we still have to do that. The t-shirt doesn't just climb onto us by magic. We've got to put the effort in. We've got to unfold it to get into it. See, Jesus illustrated this in a sense in the parable of the sower. Do you remember that story where Jesus said that the farmer went out and scattered seeds all over the place? Some landed on the rocks, some landed on the footpath, some landed in thorns, and some landed in fertile land. You see, what the psalmist is telling us here, what Jesus is saying to us, is that we've actually got to put the effort in if we want the light, if we want the understanding in this life. Although it might not be a lot of effort, we've still got to put that effort in. We need to ensure that we are fertile land, so that when God's word lands on us, it actually grows. One commentator said that the word unfolding carries with it the understanding of something being expounded, or developed, or explained. And that, friends, takes work. We can't just sit there with our arms folded and hope that God's word will give us light and understanding. We actually need to spend time in God's word. Not just here at church, not just at Bible studies, but on our own as well. I wonder if any of you have had the opportunity of going up in a hot air balloon. I haven't, but I have been told that apparently it's a lot of hard work to get a balloon up into the air. Firstly, you have to arrive there about, I don't know, quite a bit of time before you want to go hot air ballooning. And you have to unfold this huge balloon. Then you've got to connect the basket to the base. Then you've got to try and fill that balloon with air using a big, powerful industrial fan. And once it's a certain level of fullness, you then need to put hot air into it so that it rises. You see, and in a similar way, friends, that's us and God's word. We have God's word there, but we have to unfold it. We have to connect things to it. We have to fill it with air before it will help us. We need to spend time in God's word. The psalmist says, "Your statutes are wonderful." But my second comment this morning, what is my commitment then to this wonderful word of God? And again, the psalmist gives us a couple of things here. He says first that we should have a longing for it. Verse 131, notice what he says there. I open my mouth and pant. Longing for your commands, he says. Many of you have owned dogs or have dogs, and you will know that when it's breakfast time or supper time for a dog, they normally get pretty excited. And if you own a certain breed or two of dogs, you'll know that they are so excited that there's a drool everywhere. Bulldogs are renowned for that. And that is a sense of the picture that we have here. That we are panting for God's word, that we are drooling to get our teeth into it. You see, as I've already said, God's word is light for us in a dark world. It is a guide for us amongst the wicked. And if that is the case, then we should long, we should pant, we should drool to be getting into God's word. You see, if, as we have said, God's word gives us understanding, then why would I not want to spend time in it? Why would I want to remain a fool and not read God's word? Friends, let's long for God's word like hungry dogs. Let's drool over it. Let's be excited as we come together to hear God's word. That's our first commitment that we need to make. The second commitment that we need to make to God's word, and that's verse 133. Have a look there. The psalmist says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word, so that I might, or let not sin rule over me." Friends, we should be praying that as we spend time in God's word, as we allow God's word to direct us and lead us and guide us in this world, that He would guide our steps so that sin will not rule over us. As you know, a dim light, it's hard to see. If you light one candle, it's really hard to see things. It's difficult to read. It's difficult to see things, that especially things in the shadows. And friends, it's the same with God's word. If God's word is growing dim in our lives, it's harder and harder to see the light, and easier to see the darkness. Friends, we need to pray that God would guide us so that we do not fall into sin, so that we do not let sin rule over us. But notice here again that not only is God's word wonderful, not only do we have a commitment to God's word, but as we commit to God's word, God commits to us. And that's my third comment. God's commitment to us. Verse 132, "Turn to me," the psalmist prays, "and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name." Verse 133, "Direct my footsteps according to your word." Verse 134, "Redeem me from the oppression of wicked men." Verse 135, "Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees." Do you notice what the psalmist wants God to do for him? Well, to show mercy. Because without mercy, well, we wouldn't be here today. It is through God's mercy that we have had our sin forgiven, that we can come before God, that He sent His Son into the world to die for us. So, Lord, give me and show me your mercy. He also wants God to direct His footsteps. Too often today, I think we want to direct our own footsteps. I'm going here and God must well tag along. No, the psalmist says, God, you show me the way to go. You lead me in the paths of righteousness, as some of the other psalms speak about. The psalmist also wants God to help him as he faces the wicked, as he faces man in this world, as he faces those in this dark world who are sinners, who are not Christian. He wants God to redeem him from the oppression of men. And lastly, he wants God to shine his face on him. In other words, to bless him as he walks in this world. And lastly, he says, teach me your decrees. You see, God has a commitment to us as well. It's not just that we're in this on our own. God is there with us. He shows us mercy. He directs us. He teaches us. He protects us. And He blesses us. And you see why the psalmist is saying God's word is wonderful? Can you see why the psalmist is saying we need to commit to it? Can you see why we need to follow the Lord? So how then do we respond to this wonderful word? And there's two ways that all Christians should do. My fourth comment, my reaction to God's comment. The psalmist says in verse 129, "Your statutes are wonderful," and then notice this little phrase, "therefore I obey you." Verse 134, "Redeem me," and he continues, "so that I may obey your precepts." God's commitment to us is there, but we need to respond. We need to ask God to help us to obey Him. It's not about I'm a Christian and now I can live my life like I want because I've got God on my side. No, it's rather I've got God on my side, so let me live for Him. That's why I sometimes get upset when people say at church, "We're going to worship God this morning." As if we stop worshiping God when we leave church. Sure, we do worship God in church. But the worship of God should continue way beyond church. As we live our life for Jesus. That we obey His precepts, His laws, His commands. You see, friends, when last have you or I reacted to the grace of God in this way? When last did you or I commit to following the ways of God in this life? See, I think perhaps we tend to say, I'm going to do this. And when trouble comes, we say, God, quick, help me. And we think of God as some giant vending machine. Put in a prayer, get out something from God. Friends, we should be living for God. Yes, life can be very hard. Yes, we face many struggles, both spiritually, physically, and mentally. But let us react to God's commitment to us by obeying Him regardless of our circumstances. But notice one last thing, how the psalmist reacts to God's wonderful word, the statutes that are wonderful, to God's commitment to us. As he looks around the world, as he turns his eyes on the dark world, that of people who are rejecting Jesus, who are not following the light. Look how he reacts. Verse 136. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. In fact, some translations take that word streams even further, and it's not just streams, but canals. In other words, big, strong, flowing rivers of tears flowed from his eyes. The psalmist was shaken to the core by the fact that he knew how wonderful God's word was and saw how people treated it, both those out in the world and those within the church. Friends, if this is what God's word is like, the wonderful word of God, when last have you or I got upset when either someone misuses the word of God, misquotes it, tries to say something that God's word doesn't say? Do we get upset by it? Do we weep? When those around us in our neighborhoods, our communities, in the schools that we might be, do we get upset as they blatantly reject the laws of God? Perhaps it's because we don't realize that God's word is wonderful. Perhaps it's because we've grown accustomed to the ways of this world and we think that it's normal. Perhaps it's because we ourselves do not obey God's laws and do not seek God's guidance. Perhaps it's because we don't understand the word of God or realize that God's word is a guiding light. See, how attracted are you and I to wickedness? How little do I grieve over those who do not know the Lord? Perhaps I can ask two questions as we draw things to a close. Where do you find yourself in this passage? You can be one of two people in this passage. Do you see the wonders of God's law? The light, the wisdom, the understanding? And perhaps you answering, actually no, I can't. I don't see the wonders of God's law. I don't see the light that it brings. Well, friends, come chat to myself or Tony or one of the other members of the church. And come and ask us how you can find out about this wonderful word of God. How God has done so much for us. How he's shown mercy to us. How he directs us and guides us. But perhaps, on the other hand, you are sitting here this morning and saying, yes, I know the wonders of God's law. The light that it brings, the wisdom that it gives me. So friends, when last were you and I upset by those who disobey God's law? When last were you or I concerned for those that misuse the word of God? When have you and I asked God to help us to obey His statutes, to follow His decrees, that He would teach us? Friends, are we hungry? Are we panting for the Word of God? Are we drooling over it, eager to hear God's Word? Well, let's pray and ask that God would help us. Lord, we do just thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You for showing us that Your Word is indeed a wonderful Word, that what we have in the Bible, what You have done for us in history, what You do for us today, is absolutely amazing and beyond our comprehension. But Lord, help us to commit to Your Word, to drool over it, to pant after it, and to live by it. But thank You, Lord, that You don't let us do that on our own, but that You direct our footsteps, that You show mercy to us, that You redeem us, that You shine Your face upon us. And so, Lord, give us a hunger for Your Word. Help us to obey You, but help us also to grieve over those who disobey You, who reject You. And so, Lord, we pray that if there are any here this morning who are disobeying You, who are grieving or failing to grieve over their sinful lives, that You would work in their hearts this morning. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.